WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In President Bush's recent commencement address at the University of Michigan, he joined the fray over the political correctness issue on the nation's campuses. The president warned against what he called attempts to micromanage casual conversation, which have invited people to look for an insult in every word, gesture, action. And he said, crusades that demand correct behavior crush diversity in the name of diversity. Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg has been listening to the debate and wants to know why the word correct gets such bad press.
The phrase politically correct began its life as a bit of routine Marxist jargon. I suspect it was a direct translation of the German phrase politisch korrekt, but that may itself have been a translation of a Chinese phrase from Chairman Mao. In any event, the German translation is a happy accident for the cultural right. In German, the word correct means simply right or true, as it does in an English sentence like, do you have the correct time? But it has another meaning in English when it's applied to social behavior. It suggests a conformity to superficial rules. You might ask which fork is correct to use with a fish course, or whether it's correct to use like as a conjunction. But you wouldn't ask what was the correct way to tell your sexual partner that you're HIV positive. So when the phrase politically correct was translated into English, it implied that the doctrines at stake were mere matters of fashion. Rhetorically, the phrase does the same work that radical chic did a generation ago. It drapes the cultural left in jeans and tie-dye t-shirts. Yet correct used to have a deeper moral sense. Dickens could speak about the importance of correct feeling, the emotions that were proper to a situation. And when Carl Schurz described President Lincoln in 1864 as a man of correct principles, he meant it as high praise. As it happens, correct is just one of a family of words that have undergone the same kind of trivialization. Take the word civility. When Thomas de Quincey described the English universities in 1858 as the recurring centers of civility, he didn't mean simply that the dons and students were courteous to one another. He meant that they preserved and refined the forms of conduct that are the basis of civilized society. And the word polite used to mean refined or cultivated, a sense that survives only in fossilized phrases like polite society and polite literature. But probably the word manners has suffered the most humiliating decline of all. Once it referred to general standards of moral conduct. That's what Tennyson had in mind when he wrote, "Manners are not idle, but the fruit of loyal nature and of noble mind." But people no longer see good manners as the fruit of a noble anything. Nor is it a topic for poets and philosophers. The great 18th century works on manners were written by Lord Chesterfield and Voltaire. The great work of the late 20th century was written by an advice columnist who refers to herself in the third person and camps herself up in high-collared dresses, lest anyone should think she takes the subject too seriously. The word manners is like a Shakespearean actor who ends his career playing a butler on a TV sitcom. It might have been kinder to kill it off a century ago. The writers of the Enlightenment made correctness and good manners one of the pillars of civil society. The other was liberal education. Both of them were intended to humanize the whole of society. Of course, by the Victorian period, the codes of social correctness had grown to a Talmudic complexity. In fact, I suppose you could describe them the way President Bush described modern standards of political correctness. They were attempts to micromanage conversation, and they led inevitably to the 20th century reaction, where outward forms were seen as trammels on the inner person. In the natural course of things, Emily Post set the stage for Mario Savio and Abby Hoffman. Still, Samuel Johnson or Matthew Arnold might be disconcerted to hear people who style themselves conservatives pronouncing the word correctness with a sneer. And they might not have understood why the universities should not be centers of both civility and civil liberties. The words are related, after all. But then that's the trouble with modern conservatism. It's lost its grasp of etymology.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.